your life.
All right. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
All right. Welcome to all our YouTube family tonight as well. Before we get started, you want to pray for Frank J right now, Pastor Ben?
Yes, please.
Let's all bow our heads and pray for Frank. He's in the hospital. I think he's going to have surgery.
Tomorrow. He's 76.
Tomorrow. He's 76. So we just want to pray that God hand be upon him, Father God, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. And we just pray, Father God, for Frank right now and for his family right now, Father God, that you would comfort them and let them know that you're with them, Father God, in Jesus' name. We just pray that the doctor's hands be guided by you, Father God, and that everything will work out fine in Jesus' name, Father God, and you continue to bless him and his family, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to read this card from Bonnie, and then we're going to get started because we've got a lot to talk about tonight. And I want to try to get it all in, but I'm going to let the Holy Spirit lead me.
Yes.
And this is from Bonnie Newman. And she says, sending you greetings from Sydney, Australia. We have a number of these kookaburra birds. That's this bird right here. She said they're driving her crazy. Kookaburras, she says, on the outskirts of Sydney. I so love watching your videos and have learned a great deal from your teaching. I have sent your videos to others to watch, to learn the truth. Keep barking, Pastor Sandy. God bless you. Also, Pastor Ben, your wife, and the team. This is from, and tell Janelle, she said also, bless her. And then so, and that's Bonnie Newman in Sydney, Australia.
Amen.
So, thank you for this card. And that's Kookaburra, Australia, down under. Okay. Let's talk tonight because we have a few things to go over. I want to thank Adam. And I forget his buddy's name, but I've been on their show before, on a radio show. It's called Parable of the Vineyard. Adam, and I forget the other guy's name, but it'll come to me. Anyway, they did an excellent video on the Kanye West thing, okay?
Wow.
They really detailed why you need to make sure that you're not following this trend and thinking that he's from God, okay? We have a lot of people that are Christians that have already fell for it. I mean, the Antichrist ain't even here.
I know, right?
And I mean, he made lightning fall out of the sky and nothing, and everybody just can't wait to follow Kanye. And I'll say, so I mean, you really gonna be in trouble when the Antichrist gets here.
Really?
Because it's obvious you're not watching, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so we got Christians going out buying the Kanye album and playing it in their homes, and we got... So it's just kind of crazy, but I don't want to sit here and talk about them. I want to make sure that you know of this video, Parable of the Vineyard, Adam, and they watch one. I don't think two is that good. He gets on a rant about Sunday worship, but Kanye is not trying to bring about Sunday worship. That's Satan did not create any day of the week, so... But on that first video, please watch that, and you will find out some amazing things why people should not be trying to follow a Satanist who just pops up, who's been planning this for 8 or 9 months. He's got all the t-shirts and the album ready to go.
Wow.
And then,
just happened to have it ready.
All of a sudden, he gets saved. You know, I got the t-shirts and I got everything ready to go. So I think I'm saved now.
And what's the name of that video again, Pastor?
It's Parable of the Vineyard. And it's a guy named Adam. And I was on their show one night and we talked about the rapture. Good guys, good in Hebrew, but, you know, I don't know if they're... I don't get into all that.
And it's a parable of the
Parable of the Vineyard.
Okay.
And you need to watch that. Watch one. Two is not as good, but one is excellent. Okay. So, and then they got listen to this one. They have Hillsong is going to be doing a Christmas special show in Los Angeles, California, at the Mayan Theater. Now, the Mayan Theater has Freemason symbols all, and symbols of child sacrifices, all type of art inside the Mayan Theater. So, anyway, Hillsong is going to be there because they're just as satanic as Kanye, and they're going to be putting on a Christmas show. So, I'm sure tickets will be. It's a Hillsong Worship Facility decorated deceptive. Depiction. It has pictures of depictions of child sacrifices on the wall at the theater that they're doing. But if you've ever seen the church, it's worse than the theater.
Wow.
All right. So, don't want to drown anybody with Kanye because I already gave the information that God gave me. God said he is not my servant, and the people that sing with him and the people in the band are not my servant. Okay, they're all hired musicians and hired singers. Imagine that you got 40 singers, ain't none of them saved, but they all pass the audition, and they gonna sing gospel music. You know, it's like, now you don't have, being saved is not a qualification to sing in this choir. You just gotta pass the audition.
Wow.
And so, you know what I mean? So God said none of them are saved, none of the musicians are saved, Kanye's not saved. He's not an agent of God. God says he's an agent of Satan. But I'm going to leave it at this. God says, watch what I do. So I'm going to watch what God does, because I don't think God's eyes are closed to what they're trying to do. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Okay.
Put your microphone on, Pastor.
Yes, thank you. All right. So I wanted to discuss today my mission, and my mission is to prepare the church to leave. It has not changed. I don't care how people feel. It has not changed. And God told me something while I was praying today. He said, I'm smarter than them, Pastor Ben, than humans, okay? Because I wanted to know, why didn't we just wait to give me the information now, then instead of giving it to me the 6,000 years and all of that? But the Lord expressed to me that if he gives it to me and it's correct the first time, right? Mm-hmm. Or if nobody is saying, hey, the rapture is going to happen here, the rapture is going to happen there, all that's been doing is getting people who really love Jesus ready to go, okay? Because if you really love them, you know now, through all the teachings that have gone on from not only myself but other people, that the Lord is coming and he's coming soon.
Yeah.
If you didn't really love him, you fell off a long time ago. You either fell off in 2010, or you fell off in 2013, or you fell off in 2017. You already fell off. And God says, I'm smarter than them, because he said, you don't want to marry people who want to marry you only because they can get something out of you. They were never in it for me. They were in it for the rapture.
Wow.
And he says, that's why I'm taking the time that I can. He says, I weeded them out.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. I weeded them out.
Yeah.
All of them that was like, oh yeah, the rapture. I'm moving out with my girlfriend. I'm not going to do that anymore. And I'm going to live right for Jesus,
Because
the rapture's coming in September. And then when it didn't, they like, I'm moving back in and I'm going to start my sin life all over. God said we weeded them out. Okay, so
Amen.
We are in the time. We are in the time, and we are ready to go. All right.
Pastor, I have a question.
Yes.
From Vicky D.
Yes, Vicky D.
She said, Pastor Ben, what is the white harvest mentioned in John?
Girl, that's a long answer. You could get an email me so I can email it back to you. That's a long answer. Okay, but that white harvest and that 4 months. That is a long answer.
I'll give her your email.
Okay. Also, I wanted to speak. Oh, here we go. So, when God gave me the understanding of the Ledor Ha'akaron, the last generation, okay? Now, me and Pastor talked about this last Thursday. There's only two scriptures in the Bible that call us what we are, okay? And what did God call the generation that left during the time of Noah? What did he call them? He said, this is the righteous generation. He says, you go into the ark because I have found you righteous in this generation. Mm-hmm. That's Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. Okay. The only other time that he uses generation and righteousness in the same verse is in Psalms 14:5. Okay. So the righteous generation, there's only two of them. One is during Noah's time and the other is during our 120 years. Mm-hmm. So there's only two generations in the Bible that God calls the righteous generation. That's Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, and Psalms chapter 14, verse 5. Okay? Amen. So we welcome to it. We are in the last days of the generation of the righteous. Yeah. Okay? It doesn't matter to me who believes now, because I know that the people who really believe are the people who really love Jesus. You cannot pretend to love someone so you can be raptured.
Amen.
Okay? But since so many people have been talking about end times, people get fearful of the fact that they might get left behind, and they pretend that they love God, but they never repented. Or they repented, but they never fell in love with Jesus.
Right.
But they repented until the day passed.
Right.
And they said, man, I can't wait to get back to sinning. And God said, I weeded them out. Okay? So.
He really did.
And you know what? They're not listening to me no more, Pastor Ben.
Right.
He's talking about it again. My goodness. He found another thing. Yep, move on. Because find me the scripture that God said the wedding is off, and then we can talk, okay? So here we go. As I was looking at the scriptures, I wanted us to look at something in scripture, and the Lord Jesus Christ showed it to me in another way than I'd ever looked at it before. I'm going to look over here at the board, Pastor Ben, okay? Now, this is the name here, Jared, okay? It means shall come down, okay? Just so happens his father-in-law is Trumpet. I mean, it's Trump. And the vice president is Pence. And he's Jared, okay? But when we get to heaven, God's going to say, you're the only one that got it, Sandy. So Jared means shall come down. Now, these are the first 10 names of the Bible. And I know you guys have heard this before, but I want you to hear it in a whole new light, okay? Because Adam means man, Seth means appointed, Enosh means mortal, Kenan means sorrow, Mahaloel means the blessed God. This is all from Genesis chapter 5. These are the first 10 names of the Bible. Jared means, or Yerad means shall come down. Notice that it is the sixth letter, okay? I mean, it's the sixth number, and it's also the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and that sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet would be Vav, okay? So the Vav, this is the Vav, shall come down. Teaching, Enoch means teaching. And these are the root of the words, because Hebrew has a root, and then you have other definitions as well. But every word in Hebrew has a three-letter root. Enoch is teaching, okay? So the blessed God shall come down doing what?
Teaching.
Teaching. What is he going to teach? That his death shall bring what? Lamech, powerful rest. Okay? So these are the first 10 names. So God is telling you the gospel in the first 10 names of the Bible. Okay, just go to Genesis chapter 5 and you can read the first 10 names of the Bible, and here they are. So Adam, it says, man, who's the man? Who's the man who is the Bible all about?
Christ Jesus.
The Bible is all about Jesus. this man, Jesus, was appointed mortal sorrow because he was appointed. But when he came, what did he suffer? He became mortal. Then it says, so he was appointed mortal sorrow. And it says he was the blessed God. He came down teaching what? That his own death will bring us powerful relief or powerful rest. Okay? So God told us the gospel in the first 10 names of the Bible, but now you have to look at something else. The sixth letter of the Hebrew means complete salvation. So he shall come down is also a prophecy of what's going to happen in the sixth year, in the 600th year, when the work week is over. And the work week is over in 6 days. How many of you know you can't work 7 days in Israel?
Cannot.
You work 6 days and your work week is over. So when the work week is over, I don't want to go back to that, but I need to at least mention it. When Jacob worked for 6 days, when his sixth day was over, why was he working? What was he? He was working for a bride. The father told him, hey, he says, I'll work for you for a week if you give me your daughter in marriage, right? He worked for a whole week. When the work time was over, okay, now we know what happened when the work time was over. He got the wrong bride, right?
Right.
That's not the one he worked for. So now what's he going to do? He says, well, if you work for me one more week, uh-huh, I'll give you the other bride. So he agrees to work an additional week so that he could get the other bride. That's only a sample of Christ working 6 days, 6,000 years for the Gentile bride. Because that's not the bride he wanted. What's the bride he wants? Israel. So he works an additional week during the tribulation to obtain who? The nation of Israel. So our sixth day is over, but it's telling you in the sixth day, he shall come down. Okay? That's why you got Trump, Pitts, and Girard all set up. Okay? So, now, the word Yerad in the Greek is 120. Why is that important? Because we have the 120 years. Because what in Genesis, what did God tell them? He said, Noah, my spirit will not always be with man. It will be 120 years, right? So that, when that generation end, God came to Noah and he said, go into the ark because what? I have found you righteous in this generation. Yes. In what generation? In the 120 years of me saying that this is going to come to an end. I found you and your family to be righteous in this generation. Go into the ark. Okay. Now, Jesus is the one that said it will be as it was in the days of Noah, the same with us when two are in one place, one is taken and the other one left. Jesus is the one that said it will be just as it was in the days of Noah. So as we count the 120 years from 1901 all the way up to 2019, and then 2020 starts the end of the 120th year, and you will be in the flood year. Now, people are like, well, here we go again. Well, I don't care if you believe me. We're weeding them out.
Right.
Okay? What I'm trying to tell you is what's happening, okay? You're in the 120th year. This is the generation of the righteous. Okay. Some people are looking for a rapture as close as November 9th, because November 9th is the 10th of Heshvan, when God told them to go into the ark. And then 7 days later, the flood started. Ah. So if there's going to be a rapture pertaining to that Heshvan date in 2019, then that would be on the day of Heshvan, right? But my contingency is this. In the year, 120th year, the flood started. I don't think the flood starts in the 119th year.
Right.
I think it's going to be just as it was in the days of Noah, because I believe Jesus, right? So next year is the 120th year. When does the year begin? This is something that I have to teach you, because if you don't understand when the year begins, you're going to be confused, because it's like the guy arguing over, you know, the Catholics created Sunday.
What?
If you read, I've read Genesis 1 1,000 times, and I watched God create 7 days, and then on the 8th day create Adam and his wife, okay? I have never seen in that whole scenario where Satan jumped in and said, hey, I'm going to create a day too, and I'm going to call it Sunday. Satan has never created any day, okay?
Amen.
Christ resurrected when? On Sunday, okay? He resurrected. The apostles started meeting and preaching and teaching on when? On Sunday, after, on the first day of the week,
yeah.
After, to commemorate the fact that he resurrected on the 8th day.
Yeah.
Now remember, they didn't call it Sunday then. They just called it the first day of the week, okay? The first day is what? Sunday. Sometimes they would call it the 8th day, because you go 7 days, and when you start the next day, the 8th day would be, you would be back at Sunday, right?
Right?
So the first and the last are the same. This is what the scripture means. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first, meaning that the day that it started will also be the last day that we have, okay? Okay, God is leading me. Now, understand this. God created all days. Okay? God created the calendar. Okay? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday are all names given by Pope Gregory to honor pagan gods. That calendar is way past Genesis 1. You understand? When the Pope decided that he was going to create the Gregorian calendar and name all days to represent pagan gods, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Friday is Phrygia, Thursday is Thor, all of these days were, he was honoring pagan gods, okay? When he named the months, okay, January, Janus, a two-headed bisexual god statue. They named that. That's who's supposed to open portals to demons. January, he wanted to start the year with January. But God has never started a year in the middle of winter. And even the popes argued with him like, this is ridiculous. We can't start a year in the middle of winter. And Pope Gregory did it anyway. So now, for everybody who follows the pagan lifestyle, January, we say Happy New Year. And God goes, what? Because we have to go to Exodus. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to teach you this. This is not the Bible study. God is like, I got you.
Maybe it is.
Maybe it is. People got to learn. Okay, you're in Exodus chapter 12? Now, all years used to begin on Tishri first, which is around September. That's why the Jews have Rosh Hashanah, but it is a agricultural calendar for them now. They shouldn't be saying Happy New Year. This is when they should be saying Happy New Year. Listen to what it says. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month, they were in Nisan. They were about to come out of Egypt. This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregations of the Israelites, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man is to take for himself a lamb according unto his house of his father, and a lamb for the household. Now, so what becomes the first of the year? Nisan. God said it. When is Nisan? Spring. What? And now that's Passover. The world calls it Easter. Okay. Pagans call it Easter, we call it Passover, but it's in the spring. All new years begin in the spring. No new year begins in the winter, okay? When spring, when Passover, when Nisan 1 gets here, it will be 2020. And it will be 2020 till next spring, okay? God has never changed this calendar to make it say, okay, now we're going to switch to the Gregorian calendar and start a year in January. I just wanted to say that and then finish it, because a lot of people ask me, well, when is the new year going to begin, Pastor Ben? And when is the 120 years, when does it start? It starts spring of next year. So rather March or 1st of April, that will be the first of the year, because it will be Nisan 1, okay? And that will be the beginning of 2020, all right? I believe generation of the righteous, the flood will be happen in the 120th year. You say, Pastor Sandy, I don't care whether you believe me or not. My thing is to tell you, be prepared, because the wedding feast is still on, yeah. Okay? Judgment for this world is still on, okay? Amen. And Jesus is still coming. So people need to still understand and concentrate on one thing. I'm not concentrating on Kanye West. God got that in his hand, right?
Right.
God's already said, you know, you watch what I do. I'm watching what God does. When it happens, I'll know God did it, and that'll be it. But I knew that wasn't going to last.
Amen.
Because you're not going to outdo God.
Amen.
So here we are, and we're at this 120. Now, this is what I want you to know. Watch this. I'm looking at my phone. Told you, Pastor Ben, I got it. Okay, now watch this. Okay. Do you see where it says in Greek, the word Jared equals 214. Now, in the 6,000th year, being the 120 is like, whoa, okay? Shall come down in the 120. For Jared to be the numerical value of 120,
yeah,
in Greek is crazy.
Yeah, that is.
Okay? Because that's the year he shall come down. Now, listen to this. 2014. So anyway, that's what it means in Hebrew. But in Greek, it means the numerical value is 214. Let's listen to what it means in 214. It means the spirit, clean and pure, white. And that, it doesn't just mean white the color, because white the color in Hebrew is levan. It's chor, which means a white garment. Okay? So it says here, the spirit. Pure, clean and pure in a white garment, in traveling companion, a caravan, shall descend to have a meal with her who is beautiful and honored, the righteous one. It says, I will raise up a prophet, but not just any prophet. It's the prophet of Deuteronomy 18, which means it's Jesus, right? Come on, get the thing out of my way. Okay. And it says, it shall be a multiple of people, many, meaning hamon, and then the other word is gerad, which means is also 214. So he shall come down. But every word in 214 is talking about the rapture. Okay, and in the pattern that it falls in is telling you the spirit of God is going to come down, okay, is going to descend for her in a righteous garment, and it'll be a caravan of people traveling to have a meal because she's beautiful and honored, the righteous one, and I will rise up a prophet for multitudes, many, Jared, I shall come down.
Wow.
That's 2:14. That's the name Jared in Hebrew. Now, the name Jared in Greek is 1:20. What does it say? Uphold or upheld, the supporter, the helper, okay, Semek. Now, it doesn't just use anyone for the one who upholds and supports. It uses Judges chapter 16, verse 29, which is the one that says that Samson, the pillars supported the stadium. So it says that's the support he's talking about. Pillars is also 120, which Samson removed the pillars and judgment came. Okay, then it says perfection, strength, the congregation shall be saved, a tribute shall be paid. Who's the tribute being paid to?
Christ.
Who's working for the bride? Christ. So all the numbers for 120 or 214, when it comes to Jerod, shall come down, is talking about the rapture. And so it's not a matter anymore of like, because I think God has settled in with people that really love him.
Yeah.
Because if you're still hanging on to Christ and you're still saying the Lord is coming, I've got to be right and I've got to be ready and I've got to keep my family ready. God has realized that you're not in this for the ride. You're in this because you love Christ.
Right. Amen.
If when it didn't happen, you didn't run.
Right.
When it didn't happen, you didn't run. A date left, you didn't say, okay, well, I guess I can start back my drinking thing again. You didn't say, okay, it's time to start partying again. You said, I still got to be ready. I still love my God.
That's right.
So God has dwindled it down.
Yes.
To the ones who really love him.
Pastor, is it just like in the Old Testament when he was preparing for battle and he had all these soldiers and he told them to go drink from the water and those that were lapping and looking? Do you remember that story?
Yeah, I know what story you're talking about. He said, there's too many of you.
Right.
Yeah, and sometimes there's just too many. And God knows, he said, some of them are cowards. He said, go up there and everyone that cups the water in their hand and drink, send them home.
Right.
And he says, but the ones that lick the water like an animal, he said, keep them. Them some rough guys. Bring them with us, right? So God knows you can't fool God.
Amen.
Imagine I'm somebody comes to me and says, hey, man, the way you're living is wrong. And do you know anything about the rapture? This is why when I'm witnessing, I never tell anybody about the rapture. And I always say that. And people go out and say, I've been trying to tell people about the rapture. And all I get is a lot of bad reaction. I say, you can't tell non-believers about the rapture. They don't even know Jesus yet. You got to preach the gospel to them.
Right.
So I preach the gospel to them, right? It's because I want to know, is your heart broken over who you are?
Yeah.
Do you want relief from your lifestyle? Do you want to be forgiven? Do you want a relationship with God? Okay? Now that you say, yes, I want a relationship with God, now we can talk about the rapture.
Right.
But I'm not going to come up to you and go, you know, the rapture's coming. How is that going to get me saved? You can scare me. Now, if you talk to me a while, what's going to happen? Well, God's going to take all the beautiful Christians out of the world and leave you here with the Antichrist, and you're going to be running, and you're going to have no water, and you're going to die. I would accept Christ, too. I would be like, well, how do I accept Christ? And you go, wow, we got somebody saved, right? And they say, yeah. And they say, so when do you think it's going to happen? They say, September 23rd. And you go, oh, my goodness, I got to get ready. I got to make sure I stay ready. I got to move out of my girlfriend's house. I got to do this. I got to do that. And then they go, September 23rd coming. They go, ah, man,
uh-huh.
I really liked her, too. So then they go back because they don't know Christ, because now they know Christ, they know what's going on, but they go back because they didn't love him.
That's right.
You scared him. Me and Wink, Minister D'Angelo, when he was here, we gave a girl a copy of Divine Revelation of Hell, the first two chapters, and she read it on the metro all the way to work. By the time we got to work, she was in full tears and said, "How do I accept Christ?" She accepted Christ. We prayed with her on the metro. She accepted Christ, right? About 3 weeks later, she said, "You know what? I was thinking about, you know, that I don't, I was talking to some people and I don't even know if hell really exists like that. I don't think that lady really went there. That book, y'all had me going with that." She said, "You know, I'm lesbian anyway." And I went back to my girlfriend. Now, me and Wink were brokenhearted, but you know what? We led her to Christ the wrong way. We didn't lead her to Christ to say, "You're in sin, you're a sinner, someone paid the price so that you don't have to go to hell." We didn't lead her to tell her, "You need to be broken over your sin because someone loved you enough to die for you." Right. We didn't tell her that part. Right. We just told her, "This is how you get, you save yourself from that," right? So in a couple weeks, she figured out, okay, well, I've talked to some people and, you know, I even talked to some Jehovah's Witnesses, she said, and they told me, hell don't even exist. It just means something, and the Christians got it wrong. And she went back to her lifestyle. This is what I'm saying. When you're talking to people about Jesus, okay, and you're talking to them about their lifestyle, and you're talking to them about the love of a God that would come down to this earth because they're in trouble, right? And they need a savior and would die on the cross so that you don't have to pay the penalty for your sins. Okay? Because now if they say, "He did that for me, now I want to accept Christ, but it's at a different way. It's like I want to get to know that person that died for me." Right. Scaring somebody into Christ may last a little while, okay? But it may not last a long while. You know what I mean? So make sure you preach the gospel to them. Tell them your sin has been paid for and somebody loves you and wants to give you eternal life. And that's why he did it. Amen. Okay. Now, I want to look at something else, you guys. And this is the message. That wasn't even a message. That's how they did it, Pastor Ben. Okay. So now, I want us to go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. Because we're going to talk about the word deceived, okay? Because it's so easy for us to be deceived. I saw a picture of Kanye West. He had wings on. He had angel wings on. And people with their hands raised up at him. And but you know, when God gave me that message last week, you know what he told me? He said, if Satan himself came into church and said, "I gave my life to Christ," all the Christians would go, "Oh, that's awesome." Yeah, they wouldn't ask any questions. They wouldn't do anything. They would just go, "Hey, did you hear? Satan got saved." And they just all just start following him and falling out on the floor.
When did Satan got saved?
That's what they're doing with Kanye. They didn't ask no questions.
None.
Listen to this. Okay. And it says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, he says, "Take heed." Okay. It says, "And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you." Deceive you. Now, what does the word, when he says take heed, what does that mean? It means to see and discern. So God said, take heed that no one deceive you. That means look, open your eyes and discern, okay? Because if somebody's doing some satanic stuff all their life, they may not be coming to Christ for the reason that you think. So he's saying, he's not saying, okay, just turn them away and reject them, but he's saying this, see and discern, take heed, okay? Then it says in verse 5, for many shall come in my name and say, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many, okay? So God knows that deception is a part of the war that we're in, okay? Let's continue. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, it says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive even the elect. Okay? So, for you to be deceived, I mean, this is a small thing. What Kanye is doing ain't close to what the Antichrist is going to do.
No.
Okay? He haven't even made fire fall from the sky yet. The Antichrist is going to make fire come down from the sky.
Yeah.
He's not just going to come out with an album that make you shake. But you guys have gone with the shaking.
Pastor,
okay, yes.
Sending out your message to, I mean, your notes.
Amen. Praise God. In Mark chapter 13, verse 5. And Jesus answered them and began to say, take heed, lest any man deceive you. You hear that? Mark chapter 13, verse 6. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, why are they going to deceive many? Listen to Romans chapter 16, verse 18. It says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies. Okay? And by good words and fair speech deceive the heart of the simple.
Simple.
Now, what does simple mean? I'm looking it up because I'm thinking it means dumb. But it doesn't mean dumb, right? What it means is those fearing no evil from others, distrusting no one. Mm. So it's a person that you don't distrust anybody, and you don't think that anybody is evil or is going to harm you.
Wow.
So you just accept everything. You understand? So you can, I mean, I watched, when I used to catch the metro to work, I watched a young kid come up to a lady and say, excuse me, ma'am. And he looked like the sweetest kid. Excuse me, ma'am. Can I use your cell phone to call my mom to make sure she's at the stop to pick me up? And she went, like, sure, little guy. And she handed him the phone. And that little sucker ran out of the thing with her phone. And she jumped up and said, he took my phone. She said, no, he didn't. You gave it to her. But she wasn't suspecting. Now, God says we're not to live like that. You're to live like this. By the way, you know, I'm a prophet. Okay. Well, let's check this out and see whether you are or not.
Right.
You know what I mean? Let's hold off on that, right?
Right.
You're not supposed to just accept everything that people tell you. I'm a prophet. I did a message the other week. The old prophet went to the prophet and said, I too am a prophet. And the scripture says, but he was lying. And he says, and the Lord said for you to do this.
Right.
And so he did. But you know, who did God punish?
The real prophet.
He punished the real prophet. Why? Because he listened.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you. As a little kid, my mom said, look, go to the store. I already had a rice on. Go buy the beans. Come bring them back. And bring them right back because the rice will be done, so I can put the beans on top of the rice. Okay. She gave me the money. I go to the store. I see some friends. Hey, they throw me the football. Hey, you should come play with us. Oh, man, I can't. I got to go to the store and bring these beans back for my mom. Then I'll meet you guys up there. No, man, we need you now because we're one person short. You know what crazy me started thinking? Well, maybe I could. He said, I'm sure the guy said, I'm sure your mom won't mind.
Sure.
You could just take it. We'll go to the store with you after. It's going to be a short game. You know we're going to win. I went play. We're playing football. I turn around.
Your mom. And my,
she said, what are you doing here? I said, they asked me to come, and he told me that you probably wouldn't mind. He was a little older than me, but why am I listening to him? You ain't my mama. She said, well, why didn't you come home and ask me if it was all right? And that's what God is saying. Some of you don't even go to God to ask him.
Right.
You just go, Kanye got an album out.
Yeah.
Right.
You ain't even asked God. You ain't prayed about it. No. You ain't done nothing. And this is why we're deceived, okay? Because we don't see and discern. We're simple-minded. We don't think anybody wants to harm us. Okay? The Revelation 12 guy got everybody telling them the first four gospels don't mean nothing. You saved, and once you saved, you're always saved. And then half the people followed him right into his new religion.
Yep.
Come on, you guys.
Octavia said, why is a serpent?
Exactly. Here, I got a couple more scriptures here for you. In Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, let no one deceive you. Now listen.
First or second Corinthians?
First Corinthians. Now listen, the word let, what does the word let mean? Okay? Because in all of the rest of the scriptures, it says, let no man deceive, let no man deceive himself. Corinthians chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1.
13.
No, it says, well, it might be Colossians then.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, because it says first. Well, I ain't got my notes. I got my phone. Okay. It might be Colossians 3, but it says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. And we says in this world. Now, that's people who think they smart, but they don't know Jesus.
That's
he said, is that not Colossians 3? Is it 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1? Or is it 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18?
First Corinthians.
Yeah, 3 verse 18.
3:18.
It is, huh? Let no man deceive himself.
Yes.
Okay, because see the eight, yes, the eight's on the other line. Yes. This is all Pastor Ben's for now. Okay, here we go. Me and Pastor Ben got it. We close. All right, but I want you to see the word. The word says let. Now, as we go down in here, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of them, because of these things come the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. Why the wrath going to come on me? Because I let a man deceive me.
Wow.
The word let means willingly or unwillingly do not allow. You understand?
Uh-huh.
You don't willingly let it happen, and you don't unwillingly let it happen,
right.
Okay? So when you say you let someone, that means you allowed it to happen, okay? And God is charging you for allowing it because he knows that you have his word, okay? I'm trying to finish up, okay? Second Thessalonians says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that... 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first. That does not mean that the church is going to be apostate first. The word is departure. So he's saying the Antichrist is not going to come until there is a departure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know how I figured that out? I looked up the word in Greek. Be diligent, study, right? Be diligent, study to show thyself approved. Understand?
Yes.
God put the Bible in two languages. every word that you read in English don't mean exactly what you're reading. So he says, go to the Greek, go to the Hebrew, and find out what it really means, okay? Because falling apostasy doesn't always mean falling away from your religion,
right.
Okay? It just means departing, okay? So when we depart, the Antichrist will come. Now, I want to just go to Romans chapter 8 because we're going to read for a little while and we're going to be done. How much time I got, Pastor Ben?
10 minutes.
Good.
Romans 8.
Romans 8, chapter 1, we will be at.
Verse 1.
Verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. Did I say chapter 1? Mm-hmm. Ooh, child. I'm telling you guys, we're going home, but you're going to have to protect yourself.
Yes.
Okay? Now, you watch. You watch. Let me tell you what's going to happen here. You watch. All these people that are playing Kanye West music in their house because they think like this is good music because he's saying Jesus. He already said in the interview, I'm bringing this music with chakras in it to affect your sex organs and to affect your pineal gland. Yeah. He's already said that. He even in one interview, he was talking about, this game that he made, and he said, because of the way it affects the human mind, that we knew it would sell. So this guy is not a dumb person. Satan is leading him. You understand? Uh-huh. So he knows the music that he made, when you play it in your house, is going to open doors for demons.
Yeah.
Now watch, all these people that's playing that music in their house, that run around the house bouncing to Jay-Z. Kanye, right? Uh-huh. Listen, do you know that Kanye wrote Jehovah, Jehovah song he wrote that song for Jay-Z. And he wrote Lucifer for Jay-Z. So Jay-Z's two most condemning songs about God and making fun of God came from Kanye West. He wrote both of them. Okay? Everything he does has been to discredit. He has a book out that he changed all, wherever it said God in it, he put his name Kanye.
No.
For Kanye so created the world. He put his, he's called the Book of Yeezy, okay? And he hasn't come on any interview and say, I'm denouncing all of that stuff. I'm asking God forgiveness for all of this food. No, he just came out with an album that made your booty bump. You just home, right? He ain't done nothing, but now you completely believe in him, okay? So this is the time of deception. Listen, do you think that demons don't know what time we're in?
They know.
Come on, they know.
They know.
You think they build concentration camps because they don't know what time it is? You think they order 30,000 guillotines because they don't know what time it is? You think they close down all those Walmarts and open and using them for facilities because they don't know what time it is? They know what time it is. So it's not the great thing for Satan to deceive people who already lost. We got to get in the church. Who's going to do it for us?
Right.
Kanye. Kanye could get us in the church.
Wow.
Really? I'm very sure. All he has to do is say that he got saved and do a Christian album. Mm. And the Christians will not only play it in their homes, they'll go from, and we'll get some of the, you know, Joel Osteen just invited Kanye. So he's going to be a Joel Osteen next, right? So all the crooked preachers are going to have them come to the churches and they're going to film it all. OK. And then Jimmy Kimmel's going to have him on a show and he's going to talk about Jesus. He was on the Jimmy Kimmel show. OK. And then he was on all these talk shows. OK. So the world isn't rejecting him because he says he knows Jesus. The world is like, all right. So that's the first sign. What if the world loves you? What? Something's trouble.
Something wrong. Yeah.
Because the Bible doesn't say if you love me, the world will love you too. Okay?
Man.
So let's read this real fast.
Read again,
Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
who walk according to the flesh, but according to who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay, I'm gonna read that again. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, I just read you the scripture that's from the original Greek, Textus Receptus, from 1600. Okay? When Westcott and Hortz came, they said, oh, we got to take this scripture out. I don't know what demon was guiding them, but how are you going to take a text out that says that if you walk in the flesh and not in the Spirit, condemnation shall be upon you.
Right.
So, but they wanted that part out because they were teaching once you're saved, you're always saved. They wanted to introduce the Nicolaitan doctrine into the church that says once you're saved, you're always saved. So in 1881, 200 years later, you came back and you read this scripture and it just said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Period.
Wow.
And they left it like that. Yeah. And now you go to most translations and they leave out the part to walk according that who walk not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. They leave out that part, okay? So now if you don't study and you just go get yourself a King James or, well, the King James kept it in. The New King James kept it in. There's a couple American translation that kept it in. But the NIV and some of the other translations just completely took it out and just said, we don't need that in there. Okay? 200 years later, you're taking scriptures out of the Bible. Okay? And so this is what I'm saying. You guys, if you're going to be at war, you can't just trust everybody. You understand?
Amen.
You're in a military war on enemy grounds, and everybody walked up to you. You like, hey, you want an apple? How you doing? Want to be friends? You can't. You're in a war. You've got to be discerning, ready. You have to know where you're at. You understand?
Yeah.
You can't just let people walk up on you when you're in military, right? These people are very strategic. You understand? But as Christians, the Bible says we're simple. We trust everybody. We don't think anybody wants to harm us. We believe everybody who's a pastor says they're a pastor. Yes.
They have a problem, like on talk show, Jim Swaggart. A lot of them call in and say, but God is love, no matter what. Just let him do whatever. God is love. He loves
yeah.
no matter
what. Yeah. See, but they leave out the part that God is also a judge.
Yeah.
The same God that's love is also a judge. You understand? Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. People leave out stuff.
Because they don't want to face
it. Right. Yeah. Now, they're not going to tell you Jimmy Kimmel's show is inside of a Freemason building. You know what I mean? So if you want to go see Jimmy Kimmel live, you got to go inside of a Freemason building and see the live taping, because that's where they do all the shows, inside of a Freemason building. And he's got Kanye in there, and they're talking about his newfound Jesus. And I'm just like, I know God, thank you, Father God, that you're way more patient than me. But I am just so disgusted at some of the Christian people. Greg Laurie, he seemed to have really come into his Christ, and he's just talking about Jack Hibbs. Oh, he's a man of God now, and everybody just
Bishop next.
No, not one person has said, "Let's stop. Let's go pray about this,
right,
and then see what we should do, and see what God is doing." I stopped and I prayed about it. I'm doing a message for something else. I just stopped just to ask God, What is up with all this? It wasn't even a big question. God said, change the message last week. This is what I want you to tell him. He is not from me. He works for Satan. All of his singers are not even saved. they auditioned and got parts in his band. Mm-hmm. So you got a bunch of unsaved people singing Jesus songs, mm-hmm. and an unsaved person who works for Satan leading them,
right.
and an unsaved band who also passed the audition. So nobody knows Jesus, but they all invited to come sing at your church.
Wow.
That's the church right now. And we got people who say, I know Jesus, that are like, oh, I just love his new album. You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed, especially if you're saying you're a leader and you're leading other people that you haven't discerned anything and yet you just ran with this. You ought to be ashamed of yourself because you have thought of nothing about protecting the sheep that you are responsible. Right. And if you're bringing it in your house, you haven't thought about protecting your own family.
Man.
You're just going to put the music on. I can play some music in your house that will bring demons there.
Yep.
And I know the music to bring because I know what music that they use, which witchcraft in. And that John Todd told us, these are the musics to stay away from. And he says, they will open portals.
Yes.
But no, just bring it in. So this is a time of deception. But it's not just a time of deception for no reason. It's a time of deception because Satan knows the church is almost out.
Yeah.
And I've been deceiving non-believers. That ain't doing nothing for me. Let's see if we can get in the church. They found an agent to do it for them.
Yeah.
And we got to keep praying, not just for us, but for the people that are so easily deceived, who are simple-minded, that are being deceived by this. So well, praise God.
Coincidence that Kanye West's wife is a witch. Is she saved yet?
That's it for tonight. We want to thank you for tuning in for Soldiers for Christ. I stay away from people's wives.
Amen.
My wife said, "Amen." I know what he's doing. I'm keeping quiet on that because I haven't studied nothing about her wife, about his wife. I don't know how she got famous. They told me bad things, but I ain't looking. I ain't trying. I don't want to see.
Yeah, right.
My thing is, I'm just know what this Kanye thing's about. So I'm gonna stick to that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are we ready?
Whenever you
We're done.
You gonna pray for your people?
Yes. We need to pray for everybody.
I'm holding you way back there.
I kept moving it. Father God, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, Father God, that we are in the generation of the righteous, that we are in the 119th year of the generation of the righteous. Father God, we thank you that a flood is coming. We thank you that we are on the ark. We thank you that we are ready, Father God, in Jesus' name, whenever it is time, Father God, for you to take your church out and to begin the judgment in this world, to restore it back to its rightful owner, Father God, in Jesus' name. We pray for all of our YouTube members. We pray that they be discerning about deception and that they walk with wisdom, Father God, in Jesus' name, not just for themselves, but also for their families, for their atmosphere, and for their households. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. And Sharon is taking up offering. Don't just stand there.